standing for the call to worship, please. And this is going to start with the congregation, beginning with, I hear a noise. It is God calling. God calls from the heights of the heavens and speaks with truth. Yes, you may come. You may learn. God calls all people to faith, peace, love, and hope. And we will continue with our singing. You may be seated. Sorry? Unless you want to dance? That's what you said, Jessica. Once again, and welcome to this Sunday, June 16th, and it's a Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all the fathers or father figures, because there's many of you there. Is there anybody who would like to be introduced? Any guests that we have here? I don't see any unfamiliar faces, so that's wonderful. Okay, I'm going to go into the announcements and just highlight a couple. Before I do that, is there anybody who wants to highlight an announcement or has something new to tell us about in our church life? Do you want it now or do you want it with sharing? Yeah. Sharing? Okay. All right, so the first thing I want to highlight is that Susanna Buller underwent hip surgery on Friday. So that's a couple of days ago, and she is healing and is asking for healing prayers from the congregation. On Thursday, June 27th, the youth is hoping to have a progressive dinner. So if anybody would like to participate and provide a starter or a meal or a dessert for the members of the youth, please let Lizzie know, and then we will get that arranged. We're starting to get into summertime, as you can tell from the fewer people here. So, of course, today is Father's Day, and therefore a lot of people are celebrating at the lake, and that's going to continue to do so. And that means camps are also starting. So let's include our prayers for all the camp counselors and the camp workers. And we're sending a few camp workers from our congregation as well this year, so that's wonderful to see. All right, I will get Jeff to have Linda share at this time.
Hi, Linda Titterton. I purchased a book called Wisdom from the Homeless, which I bought for our church library. I'm not sure quite how active our library is right now, but it's a book written by Dr. Neil Creighton, who is one of the volunteers at the health center in Salo Mission. And it's different stories from different patients that he has encountered, and he says, the homeless men and women I have met at Siloam have taught me profound lessons about perseverance through suffering, expressing joy in dire circumstances, and the rewards of service to those in need. I want to share those lessons with you. And I have this book at home, and it really, from a doctor of high standing, it has humbled him for what these homeless have taught him. And it was a very enjoyable read, informing read, I thought it was worth sharing. So it will be in the library.
Hi, I'm Dolores. I just got back from Vancouver. I visited two lady friends. One's got a tumor in her stomach, and she's going the holistic way right now. She's got to get an ultrasound to confirm. Also, I was visiting with my other friend that I met, and she has had several operations on her back and knees, and just asking for prayers for healing, and thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Dolores. And Linda, thank you for providing the library with a book like that, because those are transformative reads. We definitely get a lot out of it. And that's a little bit about, sort of loosely, the conversation that I'm going to talk about now with the children who are here. Do they want to come up and hear a story? Alice and Summer, I am so happy you are here. I had a hard time finding a story, and then I came across one that I thought, oh, this is an interesting way to teach you a lesson. Do you guys know what this is? Alice, you know? It's an oyster shell. And do you know what you sometimes find in an oyster shell? A pearl. And do you know how that pearl gets there? Probably don't. It's an interesting story. So I brought that pearl and I put it in the oyster, because God has given the oyster a way to ease pain. Now, as you can see, this is a shell. And it's in the ocean when it's alive, and sometimes a grain of sand gets into the oyster. And that hurts the oyster. It causes it some pain. So, when a grain of sand gets in, the oyster oozes out a liquid that coats the grain of sand, and then it hardens. And the oyster keeps doing that, keeps oozing the stuff, and then it hardens. And over time, that little grain of sand turns into a beautiful pearl. And something painful actually turns into something beautiful and valuable. Now, you know who does that for us? God does that. Sometimes something comes into our life that causes a lot of hurt and pain,
And when that happens, God gives us something to help us ease the pain. He gives us his love. If we ask him to, he will ooze out his love, ease our pain and suffering, and surround us with his love. So often, what started out to be very painful in our life can turn into something beautiful, a lesson, or a new appreciation for life, or having learned something. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that when we have pain and hurts in our life, you ooze out your love to ease our pain. Help us to remember that you can take the most painful hurts in our lives and turn them into something beautiful. Amen. And you can go sit with your mom and dad.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you, O God. One day every knee will bow. See the riches that remain for those who gladly choose you, Lord. The time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are.
Continue with the service. Let us close our eyes in prayer, and there will be an opportunity for us to give up our own individual prayers to God for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, the day we celebrate our earthly fathers and father figures. We thank you for our families and our church community. Please provide comfort for those in need of your healing, our church family members in hospital and care facilities, and those whose suffering we are unaware of. We thank you for the healing already experienced. We now come to you with our individual prayers. God of creation, our Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit who guides and sustains us, hear our prayers this day. We know the many ways in which we have failed to do the tasks which we have set before us. We have often chosen our comfort over service to you. Our fears and doubts lay claim to our lives, and we shrink from the opportunities you give us. Forgive us for the many failings. Lift and restore us to your grace. Put our feet on the pathways of service, offering justice and peace to all people. Heal us, O gracious one. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are now going to sing a new song as the offering is being taken.
Everyone. So I'm going to be reading from John 16, 12 to 15, and also Romans 5, 1 to 5. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which now we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us.
Well, a good morning to you. You were expecting some rapture wear, right? Well, I figured I did that once. Didn't need to do it again. Although I was going to bring along my vintage purple Toronto Raptors hat from the 90s with that silly little dinosaur on it. And then I forgot. So. But it was an enjoyable evening the other evening as Cheryl and I watched them win the championship. And not that it matters very much in life, but it was fun. And what else was I thinking about? I was thinking about the fact that we had such a lengthy service last Sunday. It was so good, and then now so many people aren't here today. And what does that mean? Is there somehow a connection there? I hope not. No, I won't read too much into it. I really won't. Because I think it was a terrific Sunday. And now if we manage to get a little shorter today, then you can tell those people that, well, you know what? It got shorter. So let's take a moment to pray. Our gracious God, we have come together because of a variety of things. But we do want to hear from you. And so we pray that as we reflect on the words of Scripture, things that we think you might say to us from there, we pray for your Spirit to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I reflected on the two lectionary texts that I chose, the two of the four, as the basis for my sermon this week, I concluded that I would develop a direction for the sermon in line with the title you see for the sermon, When You Wonder Where God Is. And then when I settled on that title, I thought of the book Philip Yancey wrote many years ago, Where Is God When It Hurts? I skimmed some of the material in his book, and I reflected on the many stories of pain and suffering he tells, with the attending questions about why a loving and powerful God can allow all the pain and suffering that is experienced in this world. I considered relaying a story or two from his opening chapters, and then I thought that this was not really necessary. We are people who live those stories. We know the stories of sudden, untimely, or accidental death. We know the stories of physical pain that will not let go. We know the stories of the pain of abusive relationships. We know the stories of mental health distress. We are fathers that have hurt because of our children's life decisions. I think that's the extent of the references to fathers in the sermon today. But I thought of that. And as we celebrated Mother's Day a month ago and Father's Day, and we can remember that it's not only a time of wonderful goodness, it's also sometimes a time of pain. We have lived and do live in these stories. And likely, as we have lived or live in these stories, we have sometimes questioned the presence, the loving presence of God in our living. So our text for this morning, the first text for this morning from the Gospel of John, brings us into the presence of Jesus and his disciples as Jesus tries to prepare his disciples for his departure. When Jesus speaks to the disciples about the Spirit of truth coming to them, he is speaking of the Holy Spirit. Our text records the fifth time in a lengthy time of teaching by Jesus where Jesus tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit is coming. Jesus' goal, I think, is to encourage his disciples with that promise as they contemplate Jesus leaving them. I wonder if we could imagine the disciples of Jesus at this point. For 3 years or so, they have been with Jesus every day. They gave up their regular occupations because Jesus called them to come with him, to experience life together with him, and to learn from him. For 3 years, they have crisscrossed the land of Israel, watching Jesus perform miracles, observing his clashes with religious leaders, wondering if he would yet take on the dreaded Roman Empire. They had given all to put in time with Jesus. This had become their life. And now, Jesus is telling them that he will be leaving them. And these are not the words of an old man nearing the end of his life. No, these are the words of a young, robust, charismatic leader and friend. I imagine the disciples feel great pain as they hear the words of Jesus predicting his departure from them. The nebulous idea of some spirit coming to be with them probably doesn't dispel their sense of gloom and doom. They are likely contemplating the future that Jesus is describing to them with a mixture of sadness and dread. But Jesus says that it is going to be good. 4 times Jesus has spoken of the replacement that will be coming. He has referred to his replacement as alternately the Spirit of Truth or the Counselor. And here in John chapter 16 verse 12, Jesus says that he has much more to say to the disciples, more than they can now bear. He seems to mean that they can't possibly understand everything that he would have to tell them. And then when he says that the Spirit of Truth will come, it seems he means that the Spirit will guide them further. This stuff that they wouldn't be able to take in quite now, they will get when the Spirit comes. It seems as if Jesus may be saying that that will be the time when they can bear to hear more, to learn more, to understand more. Now, I think I have a couple of just sort of main points in the sermon, and then I have a few asides, and this is the time for one of those. When Jesus speaks of the Spirit of Truth or the Counselor, he speaks of the Holy Spirit. The historic Christian church has understood God as composed of three persons: God the Father, and we sung songs that related to that today, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The church has spoken of God as triune. God is Trinity, three in one. And this Sunday in the church calendar is actually designated as Trinity Sunday. Our gospel text for today is one of a number of texts that witness to the idea that God is triune. Jesus speaks here of all that belongs to the Father being his, and of the Spirit taking from what belongs to Jesus and communicating it to the disciples. So he depicts Father, Jesus, and Spirit together as an interrelated being. This is God as Trinity. I don't know if you noted, but I noticed that Linda began her prayer of God's people with a reference to praying to the triune God. Now, back to sort of the main point. Thus, when Jesus speaks of the Spirit of Truth coming to be with the disciples when Jesus leaves them, he is telling them that God will continue to be present with them. When I think of the sadness and the grief of the disciples as Jesus tells of his imminent departure, I recognize that Jesus is telling them that God will continue to be present with them, even if it isn't in the form of the physical Jesus. He seems to suggest that it will be better that way. Now I'm going to take you on another one of these asides. And I do so because the words of Jesus here raise some questions for me, and I'm not sure what to do with them. And I guess I expect that you might have similar questions of the text. Jesus says that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide the followers of Jesus into all truth. The Spirit, and then he says, the Spirit will tell them what is yet to come. What does that mean? Now, Jesus doesn't give any further explanation, and the disciples don't seem to question what Jesus means. I suspect they're probably too stunned to ask lots of questions, but I wonder, because I think whatever Jesus is talking about didn't end with those first followers. I think this continues to be true for followers of Jesus throughout history. It seems to me that this saying that the Spirit will tell what is yet to come makes sense in the story of the early church. The disciples, at the time of Jesus, had no idea about how the church of Jesus would develop when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. Just a short time after Jesus left the earth, the event we remembered last Sunday, the Spirit provided power to the disciples of Jesus for the task of spreading the news of Jesus. When we think of the development of the Christian church as the New Testament relates it, it's not hard to see how God continued to give direction to those who spread the news and who provided direction and instruction to the early church. God was giving new direction through the Holy Spirit present in his followers. Is God still speaking to us and providing insight into God's desires and directions through the Holy Spirit? Well, I think that is the case. I think those words of Jesus promising that continue to be true. I just wonder about how we decide that we understand the direction of God. I wonder about that because at times I have experienced some degree of distrust and doubt when other people have claimed that they've heard from the Spirit as they have advanced new ideas or foretold events that are to take place in the future. When we hear such things, or perhaps also when we experience what feels like the Spirit communicating to us in our lives, we might be helped by holding on to two things that our Anabaptist ancestors held up in that situation. They held on to the idea that God's fullest revelation of who God is and what God desires has taken place in Jesus. So we need to compare what people say they hear the Spirit saying to them, or what we might sense we hear the Spirit saying to us, by comparing it to the life and the words of Jesus. Our Anabaptist ancestors also would have said that we need to examine things that we sense the Spirit is saying to us by drawing in the understanding and advice of other followers of Jesus. And so those two steps help us to ensure that we don't go down a wrong path with our ideas about what the Spirit might be saying to us today. All right, that was an aside once again from the main theme, but one that I thought was worth addressing from the text. It felt to me like the text begged that question. However, there is some relevance to the main question we're addressing in today's sermon because it speaks of the continuing presence of God with the followers of Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit. I've consumed a fair bit of time to get us to a simple response to the struggle we might have with wondering where God is when we experience pain in life. In Jesus telling his disciples that God would continue to be present with them in their grief, God reminds us that God remains present with us in the pain of life. Although we sometimes feel abandoned and alone, we believe the real truth is that God is directly present with us. Now, our second text for this morning is also relevant to the struggle we experience when life deals us painful blows. That text is in the letter that the early Christian leader Paul wrote to the Christian church in Rome about 25 years after the death of Jesus. As I considered the Romans text in relation to human pain, I thought it had two significant things to say about how Christians can think in the face of pain. The first really builds on what we've been talking about. It has to do with God's accompanying presence again. Paul communicates enthusiastically about how great it is to be living in right relationship with God and knowing His presence with us. The commentator Mary Hinkle Shore likens these words to a late-night infomercial on TV. You know the kind she's referring to. When you watch such an infomercial, not that I do such things, really, I don't, but I have sometimes, somewhere along the way. I think when my youngest son was an infant and screaming most of the night, and we had only three channels on TV, then sometimes I was limited to watching an infomercial. So, but you know what we're referring to. You're being told about a terrific product and about how much you'll have to pay to get this product. But then the pot gets sweetened. Wait, the announcer says, there's more. For the same low price, we'll throw in this bonus product. The announcer describes that product. And then he says, oh, and that's not all. We'll also add this handy gadget at no extra cost. It just keeps getting better and better. You've got to buy, right? Well, Paul sounds a little bit like that in these verses. He is excited about how good it is to live in right relationship with God. The big difference between this and the infomercial is that this is not just a sales job. This is the real deal. When Paul thinks of God's presence with us, he begins by saying that we have peace with God because we have come into right relationship with God due to our faith in Jesus. This peace is a sense of well-being, of things being right between us and God. Then Paul says that because of our faith in Jesus, we have gained access into the grace in which we now stand. This refers to how God sees us and God's attitude toward us. God's attitude is one of favor and good intention. God wants the best for us, even when we don't deserve it. That's not the end of what comes to us in God's presence with us. Paul also says that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is looking forward. What God is at work to accomplish in this world and in our lives will be complete one day. This whole line of thought speaks to us in our experiences of pain. The peaceful, gracious, and hopeful presence of God remains present with us. We're not experiencing pain because God is punishing us. The experience of pain does not mean that God has abandoned us in any way. The experience of pain is now, but God promises better. That's how I see this part of Paul's text in Romans 5 addressing our experiences of pain. It's clear that Paul does not expect the lives of followers of Jesus to be free of pain and suffering, because as soon as he is finished with his glorious description of how good it is to be living with God's presence, he recognizes that there will be suffering. The idea that religion has often had, that people will receive goodness in life if they just live right, and trouble in life if they live badly, does not appear to enter into Paul's reflection on suffering. Suffering just happens. Of course, it sometimes happens when we've lived poorly, but often the pain we experience in our lives is clearly not caused by how we have lived. Paul thinks that the experience of suffering can be a good thing. I suspect he is thinking more of the kind of suffering he seemed to be experiencing in those days, suffering because he chose to follow Jesus. But I suppose his reasoning about suffering could fit all kinds of suffering. He argues that suffering develops perseverance. When life is hard and we manage to live our way through it, we develop the ability to stick to doing what we need to do. And Paul says when we have done that, we develop character. And out of the development of character springs hope. Paul is confident that this is not faint hope. This is not just wishful thinking. It is not those things because it is fueled by what we know, that God has poured out his love into us through giving the Holy Spirit to us. Those are the words at the conclusion of the text for this morning. And so we might reflect on how the Holy Spirit opens and closes our texts for this morning. This then is the second way for Christians to think while living with painful experiences in life, drawn from the text in Romans, that living those experiences helps to form us into better people. I don't think that's an automatic result. Not all people turn their painful experiences into the kind of personal growth that Paul imagines. But the people who focus on the good things that God has for them and the positive ways that God would help them develop while in the middle of those painful life experiences will often experience what Paul is talking about. The witness of our text for this morning communicates a resounding certainty that God is present with us. When we wonder where God is because life is going badly, these texts tell us that God is still very present with us. They steer us away from thinking that God's loving presence should result in lives free of pain, and they remind us that when it hurts, God is alongside us in our lives. Let's pray. God of grace and love, our eternal and heavenly Father, we have reflected on two texts this morning, texts that remind us that while pain occurs in our lives, you are present with us. It's surely true that we don't always feel that very much, but we are grateful that you have promised that you are faithful, that you are present. May we, through the eyes you give us by the Holy Spirit, continue to see that and recognize that in our life's experiences. And we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Of this life.
Please rise for the benediction and remain standing for our last song. Through grace and peace, may we have the wisdom to be transformed. For suffering leads to endurance, endurance gives rise to character, and character produces hope. In true hope, hope founded in God, we are never disappointed.
Give or take.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be your glorious name.